Kathy Dawes, along with UFM Executive Director Linda Teener. And I know we wanted to talk about community garden signups. Boy, it's hard to believe we're already getting to that point. It doesn't feel like it today, but...
I know, it's January, but you know we've been signing people up for community garden plots for this year since November. And we're getting to the point where it's time to sign up new gardeners. We still have plots available. We have two locations. We have gardens at 9th and Riley Lane, which is just south of Fort Riley Boulevard behind Howie's. And then we have plots south on Manhattan Avenue on Hunter's Island at 1435 Collins Lane. So it's about a mile from the Riley Lane Garden. And we have plots available at both locations. Lovely garden soil, lovely soil. New gardeners start with one plot, and if they do well with that, then they can get a maximum of three plots the following year. Our next garden sign-up is going to be on February the 15th, which is a Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock at UFM, which is at 1221 Thurston. We're at the big red house on the corner of Thurston and Manhattan Avenue, and we'll be doing that in the solar edition there. We also have a garden sign-up on Saturday morning, March 11th, at 9:30. Both of those times are on our website, and our website is tryufm.org. That's tryufm.org. And just go to the community garden page, and you'll see the sign-up dates. Easy to do. Come in. Pick a plot of what's left available. Choose which location you want. Pay a small fee to rent the plot for the year, and you're good to go for your gardening.
Any worry about running out of space? I mean, do you ever have waiting lists, that kind of thing? I know you have your folks that do it all the time. They're regulars.
Right, we do. We have a lot of people who come back and garden year after year. But we always are able to offer 20 to 40 plots available for new gardeners each year. If we give out all the plots, then we will put them on the waiting list. Sometimes a gardener will sign up for a plot and discover that they've got a health problem or that they're moving or that it's really more than they can handle, and then they'll return the plot and then it will be available. We have a total of 280 plots with the community garden. So the last few years has not been as big a problem for waiting lists as we used to have when we just had the Riley Lane garden. We have 130 plots at Riley and 156-ish or so at Collins Lane.
Now, all sorts of things are grown, too. I mean, just talk about the variety of things that people are able to grow.
You know, it's really fun to walk through the gardens during the summertime and see the variety. You've got the standard Kansas growers of corn and green beans and tomatoes and peppers, but you also see unusual things because we have a lot of international gardeners, students as well as community members who garden down there, and they try to grow things from their native lands. Some work well, some don't. We have one gardener who focuses a lot on herbs, and she grows a whole variety of herbs and then does classes for UFM on how to use those herbs and how to dry them and take care of them. So you can grow really whatever you want that's legal in the gardens. You can grow flowers. You can grow vegetables. Just no marijuana.
Gotcha. Anything, what is maybe one of the most unusual things that you've had grown out
there?
You say some things work, some don't, I'm guessing. But, well, you can think about that a little bit.
Oh, let me think on that for a minute, because there are lots of interesting things. Loofah sponges I've seen grown out there. All kinds of grain crops have been attempted. So,
flowers.
All kinds of flowers, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, very good. And I guess another thing that we wanted to get into a bit today, Project Excel is coming up.
Project Excel starts this Saturday. That's a program that focuses on providing some enrichment and socialization for special needs adults in the area. We have students that come as far as an hour to an hour and a half away on Saturday mornings to participate in our program. The way it works is we meet in the K-State Union. Students get a K-State ID card, and we meet from 9 to 11:30 on Saturday mornings. We meet for 5 weeks, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll do another 5 weeks each semester. We have five classes right now that they can sign up for. So they would choose one class, and then they would take that class for 5 weeks. We have time to go to class, and then we have a break time where they can go to the convenience store and just hang out in the union like students do. And then we go back to class for another hour. We try to plan classes that are of interest to our students and also provide some enrichment education for them. We've got one on science, generally active science, I would add, where they make things and they do experiments. We have a social skills class this semester. We have one on how to stand up for yourself and be assertive. We have a dance and fitness class. We have a class, I believe, on storytelling. So we have one on, it's called a mystery class, where they do something different every week and they don't know what that's going to be. The first couple are going to be some arts and crafts classes. So we do small motor skills, large motor skills, a lot of intellectual conversations that go on. The students love the program. It's so much fun to go, and it's so rewarding to see how much the students enjoy coming just want to be there. And will come an hour and a half on a Saturday morning to be at class at 9 o'clock. So it's really a terrific program. We had 64 students last semester, and we anticipate having at least that many this semester.
Well, it seems like you'd have to be really creative to come up with some of these ideas. I mean, it just sounds fascinating, like something that anybody would be interested in kind of learning more about.
Well, yeah, it is fun. We go and participate in some of the classes sometimes. We use K-State students in special education as volunteers, but we are always looking for volunteers. So if there's somebody in the community that would be interested in coming and helping us on Saturday mornings. This is a pretty low-budget program. We function with grants and donations, and each student contributes a small class fee to help cover the cost of paying for a teacher and the supplies and things that we need for the classes. But it's a terrific program. We're always looking for both students and volunteers.
Before we wrap up today, we're probably doing this backwards, but I think we take for granted sometimes that everybody knows what UFM is. And it maybe is good to revisit, especially with your new look, as we mentioned at the beginning of your segment. You have a new, very bright and kind of cheery magazine-style course catalog now that you're using. But it might be good to revisit what UFM is all about.
Well, that's true. Not everybody really gets what UFM is about. UFM started in 1968, publishing its first class catalog. It was started by K-State students and faculty who wanted a way to bridge communication between the campus and the community and do it in a neutral location. And so we've been doing that ever since. Very quickly it caught on, and I know by 1970, when I first was introduced to UFM, it had a very active number of volunteer teachers, lots of classes, using the same kind of approach that we still use now, looking for volunteers from the community who want to share what they know with others. But in addition to the classes, we also have a strong mission to be a catalyst to help create or support community programs and organizations that need a home. And so we have Project Excel for special needs adults. We have the community garden, which I didn't mention is the oldest community garden in Kansas. We've been running that garden since 1974. We have a teen mentoring program. We have a call?
No, I think we just have a minute left.
Minute.
I just
okay,
got the
fine.
Minute warning.
Okay, fine. We have a teen mentoring program. We have a lecture series. We do a lot of outreach and collaboration with other community groups.
Well, and definitely, and it's been a part of my whole 16 years here. I know it's been very active, continues to evolve, and
yes.
You kind of change with the times.
Yeah, around 15,000 people a year participate in all the programs that we offer.
Well, very good. Been a pleasure to have you today.
Thanks for having me today.
Again, Linda Tiener with us, Executive Director, UFM. You've been listening to In Focus on News Radio, KMAN.